really looking forward to what God is going to do today. I'm really excited about the festival later on and seeing people come to that. So pray for that. Pray for the weather that will hold out well. And pray more than anything that God would just reach people, rescue them out of the power of darkness, bring them into the kingdom today. And it's encouraging to see churches working together. It's not common these days in many ways. You know, we're always all about our own business, kind of focused on our own ministries. And so it's a joy to see unity in the kingdom of God. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Desmond Henry, and I am from South Africa, from Johannesburg. And it's my joy to lead what is known as the Global Network of Evangelists. And so that's kind of why we're gathered here today, just to kind of connect with different evangelists that are part of our network and meet some new folk as well. The Global Network exists to identify, affirm, equip, and mobilize evangelists all over the world. And again, just a reminder of that vision, because I think it's such a key thing for us. In a world that is so divided, in a world that is so fragmented and polarized, now more than ever, we need to identify the next generation of evangelists. And I believe that God is at work in the world around us, and that he desires to use us as part of his kingdom. And so I'm excited about identifying new evangelists. And so you might think, well, are there still evangelists out there? There are. It's a joy for us, and Heather can just go to the slide there that shows the map, to have almost 1,100 members in the English-speaking world. And our members are based in, I think, 70, you can read on the screen there, 71 countries, I think, around the world, which is really encouraging to see what God is doing. Of course, this excludes Latin America, where we have a great network, Nueva Generación de Evangelistas. I practice that all morning, Pilar, just for you. I wouldn't butcher the Spanish there. But it's encouraging to see what God is doing globally. And we want to identify, we want to equip, we want to mobilize evangelists to work together. That's one of the greatest joys that I have, actually, is mobilizing evangelists around the world to work together on collaborative programs. Just this last June and July in Mombasa, we did a collaborative mission there where about 12 different evangelists and organizations came together. And they shared the stage, they shared the platform, they kind of built community around our time there. And over the five-day period that we had our evangelistic outreach in Mombasa, Kenya, amazing to see about 25,000 people attend in a Muslim stronghold area, which was just incredible. And 1,056 people dedicated their lives to the Lord. And praise God, yeah, that's amazing. But again, just what is amazing for me is that, but for me personally, is to see all those evangelists working together. I think for many, many years, evangelists were lone rangers. They kind of had their vision and their mission. And it's our mission to help evangelists work together more. Because when we work together, we can achieve a lot more for the kingdom than when we can on our own. And so we're not just about, you know, a platform for one, but building a table for more people to come and be around. And so equipping evangelists is a lot of what we do. And one of the great partnerships we have is with an organization in the UK called The Message Trust. They're a fantastic evangelism ministry and very effective, very innovative in the UK context. And in fact, Tommy Miyashiro is a product of that a little bit here. And so he has a great friendship and respect for the Message Trust. But one of our friends, Ben Jack, developed this three-year curriculum for evangelism, particularly, and helping to accelerate evangelism and building communities of evangelists, which we call advanced groups, all over the world. And so this is the brand new English-speaking three-year guide. We had the one-year guide translated into about 18 languages. Now we've got the three-year guide. We're going to start the process. Well, we're almost done with Spanish and Portuguese, and so it's exciting to have a look at it. But please, this is the only copy I have here, but have a look at this. I mean, really great content, 3 years' worth of resources, and you get it for free. We do not charge for any of our resources. To be a member of GNE, you don't have to pay for anything. We exist, and that's the wonderful heart and generosity of the Plough Association. We exist to be a blessing to other ministries and other evangelists. We want you to succeed and thrive in what God has called you to. Because if you succeed, we all succeed, right? And so that's really something that's a great blessing. But these advanced groups are meeting all over the world. And statistically, we've kind of calculated that about 4,000 groups have met in the last 3 years. Some meet for a month, some meet for three months, some meet for a year, some continue to meet. So it just depends on you as a person or your group particularly. But the idea is that you get together once a month with people in your community, from your church, from other churches, missionaries, evangelists. Bring different people together and just talk. Gather around the Word of God. And there's some really good content here. You don't have to follow the curriculum necessarily, but there's some great topics it deals with. It deals with the identity of an evangelist, prayer life of an evangelist, different aspects of the power of the evangelist. It deals with so many different issues, not methodologies of evangelism, but the inner stuff that we all lack often and we all need to discuss a lot more. And so this curriculum is freely available to you online. You can download it and use it as a PDF. But it's such a joy to see what God is doing. I think there's advanced groups now in 87 countries around the world. And so the reason why we do this is many people accuse evangelists saying, well, hey, evangelists are great, but what do you do for follow-up? You know, what happens when you leave? And the reality is, you know, we are finding that advanced groups increasingly are a wonderful mechanism to continue the movement of unity within a city that was generated or created through a moment of evangelism. And so we'd love for you to consider joining the movement and sharing these resources with those you know, and starting your advanced group if you're able to do that. It would be just amazing. But it's my joy this morning just to lead you through a session where we're going to just, in a sense, overview what GNE is, why it matters, and how you and I can be involved. You'll see on the table in front of you, there's a placemat with this map on. And this is something that we decided to do, even though it says GNE Council on it. We had a council retreat. We have a global council that helps us with the ministry, and we met a couple of weeks ago in Portland, Oregon, and we looked at some of these issues and topics, and we'll go through some of this here. And the ultimate goal is for us just to speak about what are we doing, where are we doing it, and how are we going to do it. So last night we looked at what do you have in your hands, right? Jesus in John chapter 6 asked the question to Philip, you know, how are we going to feed these people? Andrew went and found a boy. The boy threw what he had in his hands, the fishes and the loaves, fed 5,000 men and countless other women and children. God used what was in his hands. This morning I want to ask the question, not what is in your hands, but what is in your mind to do for Christ and what is in your heart to do for him. All of us are called to different things. We're passionate about different things. Some of us are passionate about equipping people for evangelism. And that's great. We need people to equip the body of Christ to do the work of evangelism. Some of you are passionate about proclamation evangelism, and Chris goes and he does a lot of proclamation evangelism in Pakistan in creative ways, and in New York in parks. You've done it for years, engaging publicly through street preaching. Some others, if you mention street preaching, would want to run a mile in the other direction because that's not really their gifting or the way they express evangelism. Some guys get a skateboard and they kind of share their testimony through the skateboards. Other people use bicycles or all kinds of different things. I think what we can agree on, though, is that evangelism is part of our Christian identity, right? We all need to promote and lift up evangelism in whatever form it takes place. And as we look at Scripture, we see that God cares about people, right? God cares about evangelism. God desires for us to work together for his kingdom's sake, so that we can reach many for his name's sake. And so I want to ask you just to think a little bit about what Bible verses God has given to you in the last few months as it relates to your ministry, as it relates to evangelism. And I'm going to share a few passages of Scripture, a few great commissions, if you like, from Scripture. And I would like to ask you in a few moments' time just to share one or two verses that God has laid on your heart about your ministry and about your calling. And then we also want to ask you in terms of where strategically you think there is great opportunity. So when we look at the world around us, there are many opportunities. Not every need constitutes an opportunity, though. We understand that. But there are many needs out there, and there are many open doors and opportunities. You may know some great opportunities that we just don't know, and we'd love to hear about and promote and help draw others into that as well. And then we want to ask how you can be more involved and engaged as a member of GNE. So GNE is three things. It is a global network of evangelists. Global. We're a global movement in a sense. We're a network, a relational network of networks. And we have members in 9 regions around the world, which is exciting and thrilling if you think about the fact that our God is a global God. He cares about people everywhere. People in North America and Connecticut, praise the Lord. God cares for people in Connecticut. He cares for people in Portland, Oregon. He cares for those in Timbuktu, those in Johannesburg, South Africa, as well as those in Chiang Mai as well. God is a global God and desires that all people come to know him as Lord and Savior. Our desire is to be a global network that will help raise up evangelists in every place for every people. And our desire is to accelerate evangelism wherever we go. We want the church to be passionate about being evangelistically minded, and we want to identify younger evangelists. And so we're global. But just because we're global doesn't mean that we're not a family. We're a family. And one of the great joys of being a part of GNE, you'll come to hear as you meet with members that have been around for a long time, are those relationships that are formed. And those friendships that are formed and forged sometimes through tough experiences on the mission field and shared experiences together. Because the reality is we need each other. As evangelists, we need prayer, we need support. We can't do it on our own. I know I can't do it on my own. I need all the support I can get for sure, right? But it's a joy to be able to serve with other people. And we're a network, you know. One of the great joys that we have is joining up together with others. One of the greatest friends and partners that I enjoy working with among many, many globally is the Message Trust. And if you look at the back, you'll see 2 logos on the back here, the Palau and the Message Trust. And Ben Jack and I travel together probably 90% of the time to different places. And we're from different organizations. We have slightly different nuances in how we do ministry. But our passion and desire is to birth movements of evangelism, to see people impacted for the kingdom, and to see long-term sustainable evangelistic ministries or movements in different places as well. And sometimes it's interesting because it feels like his staff is part of my team and our staff is part of his team, and it can be gloriously confusing sometimes. But what it is so encouraging because I have a friend and brother in Ben, and I can kind of pour out my heart to him and we can work together. And that's kind of the way it should be. This resource is not something that Palau created at all. It's not our resource, but we see tremendous value in this. And so we're behind it and we're trying to get it out to as many people as we know in our particular network. And that's the beauty of networking. We live in a network age, don't we? If you think about how technology has changed over the years, Dave Jones has been with the Palau Association for 150 years. And back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, he would kind of send a pigeon with a note back home to Oregon. It would take 3 years to fly there. And if it wasn't eaten by something else, I'm just kidding. But he would tell you, like, he would tell you that they got one, 10-minute phone call every 3 weeks when they were traveling overseas somewhere. And they were able to connect home. And remember those days when we actually had landline telephones and you'd have to answer the phone at home and so forth. But technology has changed so much. We live in an interconnected world. Jet travel has just increased our capacity to connect in different places. Social media has brought the world's problems in many senses and challenges and opportunities right to our doorstep. There are many opportunities for digital evangelism. I know it can scare some of us sometimes, even the best of us that engage in that world. But it's a different reality, and we're a network. And so we're not trying to do what you do. We're not trying to steal your stories or take over what God has called you to do. Our desire is to connect ideas and innovation and evangelists and people so that the ministry can happen a lot better and a lot more effectively. And so we want to challenge you as part of the network to be GNE. Heather, our global partnerships strategy person, I'll get a title right. She's everything to GNE, so it's kind of hard to put a title on her. But she came up with this sort of hashtag, BGNE. And so we want you to come and share opportunities with others and to not wait on us as staff or as team to kind of bring the opportunities to you, but for you to take take an active role or part in the network. We've created a wonderful infrastructure online. We've got a map online where you can kind of see all of our members. There's an online forum where you can post opportunities or engage with other members. We'd love to invite you to use what we have already. And then we're a network of evangelists. We are in no way ashamed of our identity. We believe that evangelists have an important role to play in the world. And we see Paul himself says, God has given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for works of service. Paul says to Timothy, who's a pastor, and some pastors say, well, I'm a pastor, I'm not an evangelist, you know. Well, that's wrong, because Paul says to Timothy, who was a young pastor, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, keep a sane mind, and he goes on to say, do the work of an evangelist. If you want to see your church grow and thrive, you have to think missionally and think evangelistically. We can't just assume that if we build a great building, if we have a great worship structure, that people are going to come to our church. The attractional church model does not bear much fruit. Whether in North America or anywhere else around the world, there's something else that we've got to give to people. And so we need to rethink and reimagine our evangelistic strategies. So, I'm going to share a couple of passages of scripture that are well known to you, and then I want to ask you to share some verses in just 2 minutes about what you feel the Lord is leading you to. So, let's have a look at one of my favorite ones, John 20 and verse 21. One of the great commissions, Jesus is appearing post-resurrection to his disciples. They're freaked out about seeing Jesus walk through a wall, as we all would be. And we see in John 20, 21, Jesus is among them, and he says, Shalom, peace be upon you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. What a profound statement that is. One of the many great commissions of the New Testament. One of my favorite ones. You know, we are great commission people, and we're not sent to be cul-de-sac people. We are sent to be highway people. I think very often we think that we have arrived rather than the fact that we've been sent into the world. We are God-sent people into the world to take the light of the gospel to the dark places. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And of course, we read about this whole aspect of Trinitarian mission. God sends Jesus into the world, and the Spirit, we read in Pentecost, sends us as disciples to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so we are God-sent people in this world. How about Matthew 28? We know that is the Great Commission, right? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, going, make disciples. What is so interesting in the original Greek, I've come to realize that some of my pastors as a kid were not quite 100% right. I remember many of my pastors in the churches growing up, they would say, go into the world, it is a command. It's a Greek imperative tense. You have to go, it's a command. Well, actually, if you read the Greek, it's not actually a command, it's a participle. Going is actually the way it's translated. And the verb of that sentence is make disciples. Going into the world, make disciples of all nations. And of course, the Greek there is pantata ethne, which is a hugely, hugely prophetic term, linking back to Genesis 12, where God calls Abraham and says, I'm going to bless you, and through you, all the families of the earth in Genesis 12 will be blessed. And so God calls Abraham, blesses Abraham, and he says, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Well, in the Greek, in Matthew 28, we see that word family is translated as ethne, or we get that kind of concept of ethnic groups from. And you can actually break that even down into family units as well. God cares about all people. And so the Great Commission, among many things, reminds me that God cares about people. About all people, not just the people that I like or the people that like me, but God cares about all people, the lost, the broken, the hurting, the suffering, the disenfranchised. God cares about all people. All people matter to him. It's so easy in our world to become anesthetized to the needs of people. I'm guilty of that. In South Africa, we have guys that stop at every traffic light. We call traffic lights robots, by the way. So if I say a robot, you kind of know what I'm talking about, hopefully. But every robot or traffic light, there's a need, and you get so overwhelmed sometimes, you know. How can I respond to every need? How can I give to every? And it's so easy to become anesthetized to the needs of people. And to remind us again of the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? We need to stop and we need to pay attention and we need to help those who are hurting and broken in the world as well. We have, again, the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, where Luke says in verse 46, as it is written, Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. Something we don't often talk about in our world, repentance, right? Repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel isn't God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You know, that's become the narrative that is shared around the world. And yes, God does love you. He does have a wonderful plan for your life. But ultimately, God cares about dealing with your sin. And repentance and forgiveness are key aspects of the Christian faith. So you can't be an evangelist and not preach about repentance and hell and forgiveness. You know, I'm not saying we have to go to those days where it was preaching about hell and brimstone and fire. And, you know, we have the saying in South Africa, you know, turn or burn, you know, kind of theology. Those things are necessary and good to speak about. They're essential aspects of our understanding. But forgiveness and repentance are essential. How do we deal with that in our lives and in our ministries? And then the last passage of scripture I'll deal with now, and there are many more I could look at, is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. As for you, it says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But, look at this, you will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I love that passage of scripture because I often remind my Pentecostal brothers and charismatic sisters that the primary sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be witnesses for Jesus, right? We miss that so easily in this text here. You will receive power. It's not ours. We receive it. It is God's gift, right? And then it says, you will be my witnesses. So a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit is being a witness for King Jesus. And you'll be my witnesses in all of these different places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And what an opportunity we have today in our Jerusalems, in our Judeas, in our Samarias, and to the ends of the earth. But let's not neglect our Jerusalems while going to the ends of the earth. Let's not forget our Samarias while going to the ends of the earth. I think this movement is both and. We've got to strengthen our local communities. Right here in Connecticut, we've got to have a gospel movement for the kingdom. And we've got to strengthen that and we've got to pour ourselves into that. And at the same time, yes, we've got to go where there is opportunity around the world. But I think so often we've neglected our home base, sometimes because of lack of courage, sometimes because of the cost that it is to us, because of the opportunities that seem so much greater in different places. We need both and as we expand globally.